And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain right here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is who got it right and who didn't. My first guest is the leading biographer of Presidents Ronald Reagan and Theodore Roosevelt. We talked about who got it right. Theodore Roosevelt clearly got it right in his career after he left the White House. My next guest is an expert on getting things right. He's a business execution expert. We're going to discuss six companies that failed to execute in 2010 and two companies that did. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Rick Lipsinger is the president of On Point Consulting. He has a 20-year track record of success as a human resource consultant and an executive. He was the founder and managing partner of Manus, a human capital consulting firm you may have heard of. He grew it to over $4 million in revenue and then sold it off to Wright Management Consultants back in 1998. The focus of Rick's work is helping organizations close the gap between their strategy and their actual execution. He's worked for a number of Fortune 500 companies. I can't list them all here, but one that we may ask him about in particular is Goldman Sachs. So if time permits, we'll ask him about that. Rick also has co-authored three books on leadership. His latest book is titled Closing the Execution Gap, How Great Leaders and Their Companies Get Results. Welcome to the show, Rick. How are you today?
Thanks very much, Bill. It's good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for that. So let's start with, you're flying by the seat of the pants when it comes to execution for the most part. Your company conducted a study of over 400 other companies, and you found some, I find, remarkable results. First of all, you found that 49% of the leaders surveyed reported this gap between their organization's ability to formulate and communicate a vision and the ability to actually deliver on that vision, which I thought was fascinating. But that even wasn't the most fascinating statistic. You also found something else. From your point of view, what was the most interesting part of that findings from your survey?
Yeah, we were not surprised to find out that almost half the people didn't believe that their organizations were, you know, good at executing on their strategies, because we'd done a lot of work with organizations and business leaders. But the statistic that really surprised us was 64% of those who believed there was a gap lacked confidence, didn't believe that their organizations would be able to close the gap. And I think that was quite an indictment on organizations in general. We were quite surprised by that.
Doesn't that surprise you from the standpoint of here are the leaders who are supposed to help close that gap, the ones that are in charge, and they themselves lack the confidence that they could do their jobs?
Yeah, well, we surveyed leaders at all levels of the organization, but one of the things we found is that even those at the more senior levels of the organization weren't sure that they'd be able to close the gap. And that really caused us to take a closer look to really try to understand what are the things that differentiated the companies that were most effective at executing plans and initiatives. And I think we also found that those factors increase people's confidence when they're in place.
All right, that makes sense. Well, Rick, then tell us, before we get to the list, we've got a lot of people who are listening to the sound of our voices that are either owners of businesses themselves or certainly they work in business. And you have come up with five characteristics and competencies that you call the five bridges to closing or crossing the execution gap. What are those five bridges?
Right. Well, and I'll talk about them, if I could, in context of the prerequisites, because the conventional wisdom around execution and what we tell business leaders all the time is you need to get a clear vision in place and a realistic strategy. You have to have people engaged. They have to have the skills they need to do the job, good products and services, and a focus on the customer, and the world is good.
Okay.
Put those things in place, and you'll be able to deliver on the promise of your strategy. And what we found is that those things are important, but they're actually not differentiators. Even companies that are not very good at executing, that miss their targets, tend to have those things in place. So the things that really are the key differentiators, or the key bridges, are things like the ability to manage change, having a structure in place that supports the achievement of your plan, and really structure is about accountability and involving the right people. This notion of having coordination and cooperation across organizational boundaries, and having leaders whose behavior is aligned with organizational values and organizational objectives is another critical factor as well.
All right. Now, before we get to your list, I mentioned at the outset that you have consulted for a number of Fortune 500 companies. Among them on that list was Goldman Sachs. So if you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about Goldman Sachs, because some would say, listening to your list of prerequisites that you just went through, Goldman Sachs was clearly out of line. And if the results of the 2007 to 2009 financial meltdown are any indicator, they may have been central to that breakdown. So talk to us about execution. If this is a company that you consulted that can execute, and they executed and it led us into a financial downturn, what does that say?
Yeah, well, I guess there's two observations. One of them is that whether Goldman kind of led people into the financial breakdown, there were a lot of people who were, a lot of the major banks were involved in that catastrophe. As a matter of fact, Goldman ended up coming out looking pretty good. In some ways, people, you know, credit them with anticipating and hedging against the real, real downside, at least for their organization. And one of the reasons why they were able to prevent or suffer the same kinds of serious consequences that a lot of the other banks did is they seemed to do a really good job of engaging employees at all levels. They do a good job of making sure that they're leveraging the skills and capability that are inside the organization. It's not just a group of senior managers that are trying to figure out what to do. They really do listen to people all down through the organization and take that information into consideration. And that seemed to be a key differentiator for them.
All right, we're talking to Rick Lipsinger, everybody, who's the author of the book, Closing the Execution Gap, How Great Leaders and Their Companies Get Results. And he's compiled a list for 2010 of the six companies that couldn't get it done in 2010 and the two companies that did. So now on to the list. And let's start in reverse order, if we can, Rick, with your number six on the list.
Okay, number six is Toyota, right? Toyota was an interesting example, and one thing about the Toyota example is it really shows how fragile this whole notion of execution is. They, at one time, and they may get back to that point, but, you know, Toyota was revered in a lot of ways as a real juggernaut, a real machine. People would come to from all over the world to see how they did it, but this last year was very difficult for them with all the recalls, and really what it pointed up, I think, in many regards, was the lack of a real structure in place to support execution. A few years ago, and this may also be the impact of growth, because a few years ago, this structure did not necessarily play out as a weakness, but they're very decentralized, and they require a lot of individual units to all sort of funnel up through Japan, as opposed to the U.S. units funneling up to a senior manager in the U.S., and that really caused a pretty significant delay in information about the problems with the vehicles and the need for a recall to move its way through Japan, through the committees, and then back to the U.S. So that's one thing that I think contributed to their poor response and their apparent lack of responsiveness to the problem.
All right, Rick, on your list, the number five company, this one breaks my heart. Who's number five on your list?
Number five is that J&J?
J&J.
Yeah, J&J, I think, they had some difficulties this year, again, with recalls, mostly in their McNeil Consumer Healthcare Group. But this problem, and again, I think it's an illustration that you don't all of a sudden just have poor execution, but it really does start to build even gradually. And for J&J, the key bridge that's missing here was the alignment of leader behavior with company values and priorities. And this is the kind of thing where you talk about, and this sounds very like cliche, kind of mom and apple pie, you know, leaders need to be consistent with the organizational values. But until you see it when it's not there, and you realize the impact when it's not there, you understand how important it is. So on some of these recalls, if you take the assertions of the quality assurance people as accurate, what they're saying is that when they ran a test, that indicated that a batch needed to be pulled off the market or not distributed, the supervisor would say to them, run another test. And then they would take the results of several tests and average them out so they'd hit the quality standard. Now, this, you know, clearly, you know, was upsetting to the QA people, but also shows a lack of alignment where leaders are kind of willing to sort of bend the rules a little bit in order to meet certain financial performance goals.
And what breaks my heart about Johnson & Johnson is twofold. First of all, I'm a shareholder, so that breaks my heart financially. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, is only 30 years ago they had the Tylenol scare, and they did such an effective job of recalling the Tylenol and quelling the problem there, and they couldn't do it 30 years later.
Yeah, and you know the other thing that J&J got a little bit of a knock on is they sort of had a stealth recall, where they sent, supposedly, they allegedly sent people into drugstores to buy product off the shelves without necessarily calling a formal recall, which is, you know, to your example, dramatically, you know, 180 from how they handled the Tylenol scare.
Yeah.
The other thing about your example is that, you know, their reaction was after the fact, and they did a beautiful job and did a great job that became the standard for that kind of crisis situation. But the problem is execution is about avoiding that problem and doing it right and not having to do the recall.
That's right. We're talking to Lipsinger, everybody, and we're talking about his list, six companies that did not execute in 2010. I find it interesting that the next two on the list are actually not companies. They are governmental organizations. Tell us about those
and
two.
And the government agencies, you'll see a lot of examples. I mean, if you're looking for examples of poor execution, unfortunately, government agencies really are very fertile ground for that. The and in this particular case, this has to do with the recall of about half a billion eggs with that salmonella scare. And basically, what appears to have happened is that the Federal Drug Administration and the Agriculture Department, who are each responsible for different aspects of chicken safety and quality and egg safety and quality, just sort of missed the boat on this, and it's kind of fell between the cracks on who is actually responsible or even bothering to inspect and take a look at these eggs from these two particular farms. So the result of that was really due to a lack of coordination between these two departments that shared responsibility for egg quality and egg safety.
All right, Rick, and that's number three and number four on your list. We're running out of time, so I want to make sure we get to these next two.
Yes.
Number two on your list is?
Nokia. And Nokia is a good example of an organization that became a victim of its own success, where they were number one, and they became really risk-averse. So they had opportunities to implement all kinds of changes related to online app stores and touch screen phones, but didn't do it because they were concerned that these unproven and untested applications at the time would have an adverse impact and would not be accepted by consumers. And other organizations brought them out. Apple would be the primary one. And clearly, Nokia started to lose market share. This year, it really became a significant problem as their share dipped dramatically. But their inability to really embrace change and to coordinate internally became a real problem for them.
It sure did. And that brings us to number one on your list. This shouldn't be a surprise to many of my listeners, but who made the number one slot on the worst execution of 2010?
Yeah, well, the worst one here was BP, and unfortunately they're an easy kind of target here, but they violated almost every principle of effective execution. They didn't have a good structure in place between Transamerica, Halliburton, and BP themselves. And as a result of that, there was poor coordination, lack of accountability, lack of clear decision authority, and that's still playing out over the cleanup as well as before with the disaster. There was a terrible lack of coordination among all those three companies and the government agencies that oversaw the well as they asked for exemptions on materials and testing procedures. Any one of them might not have been a problem, but in an aggregate, it clearly had an impact. So basically, there, you know, if you think about any of the five bridges that I've been talking about, BP basically violated all five of them.
And it has come back to hurt them, and of course it's come back to hurt the United States and our economy as well.
Yeah.
We're talking to Rick Lipsinger, everybody, author of the book Closing the Execution Gap, and we're talking about his list, six companies that couldn't get it done in 2010 and two that did. Let's talk quickly about the two that did. One was Netflix, the other was Barnes & Noble. I want to ask you to elaborate on Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble is kind of, I put them on the list, but they're kind of like an if, and the jury's still out on them. You know, they've responded quite nicely to the dramatic change in the publishing industry with the popularity of electronic books, and you know, Barnes and Noble's investment in bricks and mortar is really putting the company at risk. But they've come out with the Nook. They've devoted quite a bit of space in all their stores to promoting the Nook. They have an online application store, you know, to drop down and load down books. So they're trying to respond very nicely. I think what we're waiting to see really is it enough and is it soon enough? Or will they end up like Netflix, really on the positive side of the change in streaming video from DVDs, or will they end up more like Blockbuster?
Well, it begs the question, Rick, if you go with Barnes & Noble, why not Amazon or why not Apple?
I mean, in terms of those who got it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, Apple clearly is a winner, and Amazon as well, but they've made previous lists of mine in previous years. So.
Oh, you don't want repeats. All right, we've been talking to Rick Lipsinger, everybody, who's the author of the book Closing the Execution Gap, How Great Leaders and Their Companies Get Results. We've been talking about his 2010 list, six companies that couldn't get it done and two that did. Rick, if people like what you have to say, want to learn more about you, want to learn more about your company, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.onpointconsultingllc.com. And the books are available on Amazon or any online book retailer.
Rick, great. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be here.
Thanks. Take care. Happy New Year to you.
You too.